Radio Prague News.
A train commemorating the flight of thousands of East Germans to the West 20 years ago has left Prague's main station. The chairman of the Czech Constitutional Court has said it will start dealing with a new complaint against the Lisbon Treaty within a month. And the International Monetary Fund has deepened its forecast for Czech economic contraction this year. The Freedom Train commemorating the 20th anniversary of the departure of thousands of East Germans to West Germany from the then Czechoslovakia left Prague's main railway station on Thursday morning. The train will retrace the historic journey with a group of former East German refugees on board. This time around, it will stop at stations in what was the former communist German Democratic Republic before arriving in the Bavarian town of Hof. Thousands of East Germans camped out in the grounds of the West German Embassy in Prague in the autumn of 1989 before being given permission to leave for the West on September the 30th, 1989. The Czech Constitutional Court will start dealing with a new complaint against the Lisbon Treaty within a month, Court Chairman Pavel Rychetský said on Thursday. The complaint lodged on Tuesday by a group of right-wing senators is being followed for its impact on delaying ratification of the EU reforming treaty or even sinking it altogether. Czech President Václav Klaus has said he will not sign the treaty until the court has handled the latest complaint. That has sparked speculation that the Czech court procedure could last until British elections next spring. The leader of the opposition Conservatives has promised a referendum on Lisbon if it still has not been ratified by all EU states. The International Monetary Fund has worsened its forecast for Czech economic contraction this year, but increased its growth prediction for 2010. The IMF now expects that the economy will shrink this year by 4.3% instead of its previous prediction of 3.5%. But it sees 2010 growth at 1.3% instead of just 0.1%. The IMF predicts continuing low Czech inflation with this year's 1% rise followed by a 1.1% rate in 2010. Czech industrial production fell by 8.1% in August compared with the same month a year earlier, according to preliminary figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Thursday. In July, the fall was 18.2%. New orders were down by 13.8% in August compared with August 2008, according to the office. The weather is expected to stay cloudy with occasional showers. Maximum daytime temperatures will be around 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, should lobbyism in Parliament be regulated? Czech deputies have just rejected the first ever attempt to make lobbying more transparent. A substance abuse survey among young people in Europe has given Czechs cause for concern. You can hear a fresh edition of From the Archives, and in today's panorama, Charlene Monks perform in Prague. All that coming your way, so do please stay with us. Deputies of the Lower House on Wednesday rejected a bill designed to curb lobbying. While many deputies agree that the issue needs to be addressed, only a few are willing to support legislation that would set down transparent rules for influencing political decisions. Jan Richter has the story.
The first ever attempt to regulate lobbyism in the Czech Republic's lawmaking process has failed. The lower house of the Czech Parliament on Wednesday rejected a bill aimed at bringing these activities under control. If approved, the bill would have required lobbyists to register with the Interior Ministry and to report on any contacts they had with lawmakers. For their part, MPs and senators would have to report any contacts with lobbyists. But the lower house returned the bill for redrafting, arguing the measures it would have introduced were too ambiguous. Jeroným Tejc is a Social Democrat MP and one of the authors of the rejected bill.
I was not only disappointed, but also surprised. The debate we had in the House was relatively constructive, and it seemed that the draft would be admitted for further discussion in the committees. I was really surprised that there were so many MPs who voted to return the bill for redrafting. That's very similar to downright rejecting the bill, only perhaps a little more subtle.
Mr. Tates also noticed that those who supported the motion had in the past voted in favor of corporate interests.
I was also surprised that the same group of MPs who rejected the bill had voted in the past against stricter rules on gambling. I'm sorry about the way it turned out, but we will still try to push this or a similar bill through the lower house during this term.
Gambling was one of the issues on which lobbyists managed to influence the decision-making process. Another had to do with anti-smoking legislation. When the country's anti-smoking law was amended in July, it in fact failed to restrict smoking in public spaces. The Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reported on Thursday that representatives of three international tobacco corporations, Imperial Tobacco, British American Tobacco and House of Prince Czech, actually work as assistants to members of parliament and enjoy unlimited access to lawmakers. Prague-based American journalist Eric Best says this practice would be unacceptable in established democracies.
I think it's not only a problem for Parliament as such, but I think it must be a problem for the company that the person works for. I don't see how a respectable Western company can allow something like that to happen.
Mr. Best considers the rejected bill a good first attempt to regulate lobbyism, and he says that MPs voted against it because they just don't want the practice to end.
On the one hand, people are trying to grab what they can while there is still time to do it, but on the other hand, they are fearful of what might come later, and I think that's why we see hesitance on part of MPs to approve lobbyist legislation or immunity issues. And in general, this is something that at some point you would think would come under the purview of international organizations, but so far they don't seem to have had much effect on the behavior in the new democracies.
Meanwhile, MP Jeroným Tejc is planning to organize a seminar in the lower house on the issue of lobbying, so that all parties have a chance to voice their objections and proposals. If they agree, the bill could be drafted by the Justice Ministry. Mr. Tejc hopes the bill could be ready by the end of January. If not, the issue will remain unresolved during this parliament's term in office, and lobbyists will have the run of the lower house for many more months to come.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, a newly released study on substance abuse among young people in Europe makes alarming reading for Czech officials. The results of the European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs, or ESPAD study, carried out in 35 European countries in 2007, have just been released. And they show Czech teenagers topping many of the tables in terms of abuse of controlled substances, such as alcohol, nicotine and drugs. Rob Cameron has been reading the survey and joins me now in the studio. So, Rob, sounds like a pretty exhaustive survey.
It is indeed. I wanted to print it out earlier in the office, Daniela, but it's 408 pages long, so I decided not to. It is extremely exhaustive. It was a survey carried out 2 years ago. They've only just published it now. They asked more than 100,000 European students on their experiences with alcohol, smoking and drugs, when they first tried them, how often they indulged, and how much they consume indeed. And from that information, they've produced a huge number of very complicated tables, graphs and lists.
Right, and Czech youngsters feature fairly high up on those lists, you say?
Certainly they are high up on that list. 30% of Czech 15 to 18-year-olds smoke, for example. That's compared to 26% of adult Czechs. And the average Czech teenager has his or her first puff on a cigarette aged just 10. In Prague, it's aged just 9. And this is very much at the top of the European league table. On alcohol, Czech teens also have their first experience with alcohol before most of their European counterparts, two-thirds of them before the age of 13, a third of 15-year-old boys, and a fifth 20% of 15-year-old girls drink beer or spirits on a weekly basis. Remember, the legal age for drinking here is 18. And when it comes to binge drinking, 23% of Czech 16-year-old boys and 17% of Czech 16-year-old girls have more than five drinks on a night out at least three times a month. And finally, Daniela, just on drugs, this is where the Czech Republic comes into its own, if you like. It has the highest prevalence of teenage experience with cannabis in Europe. Now, according to this survey, some 45% of Czechs aged between 15 and 16 were regular pot smokers, which is frankly unbelievable.
Now, all that sounds truly alarming. So what, if anything, do Czech officials plan to do about it?
Well, the Minister for Human Rights and Minorities, Michal Kocáb, has already said that he plans to submit a study to the cabinet, to the caretaker cabinet. Now, perhaps he will receive some support and understanding in the cabinet, but of course, any laws would have to be passed by the lower house and the upper house. And there, of course, the tobacco and indeed the alcohol lobby is quite strong.
So, long-term project, obviously. Rob Cameron, thanks for that. Now, it's time to look back into history, rather further back than you might expect, I think. Here's David Vaughan with this week's edition of From the Archives.
Last week I promised some recordings from Radio Prague in the early 1990s, but I hope you'll forgive me for taking a break in our chronological journey through the archives to play a recording that has a special relevance this week. On Monday, Pope Benedict visited the town of Stará Boleslav just outside Prague, famous for its link with the early days of Christianity in the Czech lands. During his stay there, he was given a copy of a rare medieval icon of the Virgin and Child that is preserved in one of the town's churches. The icon is cast in metal and is said to date back to the days of Princess Ludmilla in the 10th century. Known as the Palladium, it traditionally protects the Czech nation from danger. On September 10, 1938, just 3 weeks before Hitler marched into the Sudetenland, the Palladium was paraded through the centre of Prague. Tens of thousands of people joined the procession, which took place on the same day as a speech by President Edvard Beneš, in which he tried to offer reconciliation with the Sudeten German minority, who were by now whipped up by Nazi propaganda. Here is a unique recording of a British journalist, whose name is given in the archives as W. Robinson, capturing the atmosphere of that moment 71 years ago.
Last Saturday was a day of emotion. At 6:30, everybody listened to the President's appeal for calm, after which the national anthems were played, the sweet and gentle Czech hymn and the rugged, stirring hymn of the Slovaks. I watched in a crowded cafe the close attention given to the speech, and then I went out into the pouring rain and premature darkness to see the procession of the Palladium. This was the sacred picture of Our Lady Patroness of Bohemia, deposited 300 years ago in the church at Staré Boleslav, which had been brought for several days to Prague and was carried in a procession before its return home. Roman Catholic Sokols, church choirs, monks, nuns, priests, the cardinal archbishop in golden cope and mitre, passed between lines of spectators holding up umbrellas. The procession became a national act of intercession by a people in deadly peril. The fearful tension, long drawn out ever since the Austrian Anschluss, but intensified in the last week or two, is imposing an unbearable strain upon a highly civilized and sensitive people. They buy papers at intervals throughout the day, then discuss the latest news or rumours. When the tension becomes unbearable, they relieve their nerves with witty stories and hearty laughter. I don't come across hatred of the Germans, only an absolute conviction that death is better than slavery, and that nobody can enjoy peace while the menace remains of Hitler's Drang nach Osten. In spite of everything, people go about their ordinary lives and occupations merely laying in extra supplies of food. One sometimes sees somebody walking about with a grey cylindrical tin hung about him. He's been getting a new gas mask, but nobody stares or thinks it remarkable. Occasionally, an office is short-handed because some of the staff have been called to the colours. But there is no panic, no violent explosion of hate, only a deep gnawing anxiety. If we have to fight, we could not desire as brothers in arms a people more determined, more reliable, more sympathetic in spirit to ourselves, or more like ourselves in their language of reasonable argument and their love of democracy and freedom.
That was the British journalist W. Robinson in Prague in September 1938. There is more than a little symbolism in the fact that it was Benedict XVI, a pope of German origin, who on Monday prayed before the icon of the Virgin, 7 decades after that recording was made. Perhaps we should not underestimate the powers of the Palladium.
David will be back same time next week to once again take up the story of the country's post-revolution development in the 1990s. In the meantime, you can check out past editions of From the Archives at radio.cz. Now, it will soon be 20 years since the fall of communism in this part of the world, an anniversary Radio Prague will be paying special attention to, and we are asking for your help.
Now hundreds of thousands of Czechoslovaks.
November 17th of 1989 set in motion the Velvet Revolution, which led to the peaceful overthrow of the communist regime in Czechoslovakia. Following a brutal police crackdown on an unarmed student demonstration in Prague on that day, thousands of people took to the streets asserting their desire for change.
Chanted the names of Dubček and Havel in which thousands of Czechoslovaks.
Do you recall the mass protests in the streets of Prague and the election of dissident playwright Václav Havel, the country's first post-communist president? On the 20th anniversary of the fall of communism, Radio Prague is asking its listeners the world over to share their memories of those heady days. Write and let us know where and how you heard the news and how you were affected by it. Radio Prague will select the best letters and interview the listeners in question over the phone. Their memories will enhance Radio Prague's special programming devoted to the 20th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution. Please send your letters to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic, or you can email us at cr@radio.cz. And don't forget to include a phone number where you can be reached. Twenty years after, your memories on Radio Prague. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you, so please don't hesitate to write. Now, in the last part of today's programme, Shaolin monks are performing in Prague. Jan Wellinger went along to meet them for this week's edition of Panorama.
The Shaolin Monastery in the Chinese province of Henan has long been famous for its connection to Buddhist training and the martial arts, finding a niche even in Western popular culture in everything from cult 1970s TV series to the most recent martial arts films. But why settle for Hollywood when you can see the real thing? Over the last 10 years, monks from various schools in Shaolin have regularly performed abroad, displaying their skills and traditions across 4 continents. On Thursday, they take the stage here, at the Congress Center in the Czech capital. It'll be the first of 4 shows in the Czech Republic, which will also include stops in Pardubice, Ostrava, and Zlín. On Wednesday, 75-year-old Shaolin master Shi De Qi spoke to journalists explaining he had begun life in the monastery when he was just 10 years old. He told us more about what it meant to live and train in Shaolin and also discussed Kung Fu.
Shaolin is a small place in the mountains in China, where for centuries boys from the age of 6 have been trained in the martial arts. In Chinese, kung fu means skill or an art achieved through dedicated and focused training. Kung fu means mastery and perfection, and it can be mastery in anything. Shaolin is a place where we focus on this, on mastering martial skills.
According to Xu Deqi, the training is democratic in that it is open to anyone from a young age, regardless of immediate talent. By definition, training has numerous styles and emphases, meaning that anyone can try and learn a style suitable for them, and then continue throughout their life. It is a complex and adaptable system which can be applied even into one's later years. Personal development is primary, the master and others stress. The fact that it is a martial art is incidental.
The spiritual and physical aspects are connected. One's strength does not depend on physicality alone, on whether someone is of stronger or weaker build. It depends on more, on one's will and on inner decisions. Shaolin training teaches one to focus their will and to bring out inner strength. Anyone can take up training, but not everyone takes it further. Some train just to get physically fit and later leave. Those who continue at the monastery then go on to discover the spiritual aspects, which are more rigorous.
The school's 22-year-old Liu Tie says, like most of his fellow students, he dreamed of being a Shaolin monk from a very early age.
I joined at around the age of 10. I'd been impressed by the skills I'd heard about, and so I traveled to Shaolin. It became my way of life.
Over the last decade or so, China has made it possible for different Shaolin schools to travel abroad. I asked Master Xu Deqi how much time was spent performing around the world and, by extension, what it was like to then come home.
Our group spends roughly 6 months out of the year abroad, around 6 months at home. Of course, it's always nice to return home to friends and familiar places to get a bit of a rest. Having said that, it always makes it worth to head out again. It is worth it being abroad to experience the joy of coming home.
Over his many years as a Shaolin teacher, Xu Deqi admits he trained thousands of students, too many to remember individually. And for him, going abroad is another interesting aspect of his life. Audiences are able to see elements of the Shaolin experience and to see different fields of training. During the show in Prague, the audience, for example, will be able to see different fighting styles, with weapons and without. Daring leaps and jumps and incredible flexibility, speed, and agility from the age of 9 to the age of 75. In short, the body and mind can be pushed further to limits that most ordinary people don't realize. But that doesn't mean that younger adepts aren't trained under a watchful eye, 22-year-old Liu Tie explains.
It's a matter of long training. And some things can't be picked up in just a few weeks or months. If you're running along sharp points, there's a danger of injury. Sometimes there are injuries and there can be some blood. But the danger is minimized because the monk leading the person will stop them and sideline them for a time until they're ready.
Xu Deqi adds that although younger adepts train just as long, 4 or 5 hours a day, there is a difference in degree. According to the master, around 30% are dissuaded from continuing further when the demands prove too great. If you're interested in the martial arts and incredible feats of the Shaolin monks, their tour comes highly recommended. 15 monks and adepts are taking part in the Prague performance, and it's safe to say that viewers will see over 2 hours something they could hardly see anywhere else. That is, unless they take their interest still further. Among the 10,000 or so people studying in Shaolin schools, some have been foreigners. Shi Teqi again.
Recently, more people from abroad interested in learning the art have shown up in Shaolin. The youngest are around 17 years old, which is not as good as when you are 10, but it's still possible to learn. It isn't too late. There are between 100 and 200 people from abroad, including different parts of Asia, studying in the different schools. It's important to make headway both on physical and spiritual levels, but of course this usually takes quite a while. By comparison, language is not as much of a problem. Basically, initiates learn language through communicating with the other students.
The Shaolin monks will perform just one show in the Czech Republic in October, on October the 1st. The other three performances will take place in 2 months' time.
That edition of Panorama was prepared and presented by Jan Fellinger, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.